Quarantimes, die Nachtschau. Emanzipatorisches und Widerständiges in Zeiten der Krone. Quarantimes, the Night Show. Emancipatory and rebellious things under the crown. Well, this show is gonna be in English because I've spent the most part of the past 2 weeks speaking English and some other languages. And I thought it would just fit to make this show in English. Diese Show wird größtenteils auf Englisch sein, weil ich die letzten 2 Wochen damit verbracht habe, größtenteils Englisch und andere weitere Sprachen zu sprechen und finde, dass es auch passend ist, das so wieder zu spiegeln. An meine ausschließlich deutschsprachigen Hörixes, sorry, aber ihr habt 57 Episoden zum Nachhören auf freie-radios.net. My name is Trailer Sparks. Ich bin Trailer Sparks and today is all about magic. Oh yes. For some weeks now, I have this folder on my desktop entitled Quarantimes Magic with CK. And in it, there is nothing else than an MP3 of the song Arroja la Bomba. Now, I don't really know where all of this goes together, but in me, it does, and that's something I'd like to explore with you today. Also, through 2 texts that I've written about what has been going on and what I've been inspired by in the past few weeks. I'm not sure if you can hear the lawnmower in the background, but it's an important part of the soundscape here to indicate it's still kind of summer. So, the first text is called Cuddling with the Data Creature. So let's leave history aside, as it's a Western concept with this whole centralization and linearity, as there are many beginnings all folding and collapsing again and again and sitting by the fire together. Let's sit by the fire together. Or rather, under the red moon, shining between the branches of the old pine tree, or rather, with the neon light in my back, we're sitting on chairs on this tiled terrace of this villa with its empty pool. The view is out on the wagons, the cars, and the compost toilet, surrounded by dry, yellow grass. And you're making this face of a person that is about to give a talk, so I laugh at you. It reminds me of my own performative faces. Embrace nihilism, says the unicorn dancing on the table, and today you'll talk about the birthings of states through the worship of power, in a way. The first lie, you sitting in the back row shout out and people smile, feeling you. This first lie means the moment that a vertical spirituality is imposed instead of a horizontal one. The vertical spirituality, the stage, the pyramid as a symbol. So it's no longer about sharing dreams, visions, ancestors and nature, but it's imposing a centralized religion as a midwife of states. Accumulating spirituality as one of the first steps towards fixed hierarchies. This narrative as the way to lure people into, well, submission. Oh, and patriarchy. Patriarchy is a big part of it, of course, as well, about this birthing state thing. Well, this whole idea about the centralization, the accumulation of spirituality, and the imposing of a vertical spirituality with like a God above us instead of gods around us or in everything gives me a new perspective on the slogan ni Dieu, ni maître. No God, no master. Well, not really a new one, but slightly shifted again. Because this spring, after an event in which we debated about religion and anarchy, I felt like the slogan was completely colonialist, as taking away people's beliefs, was one of the first things white people would do, right? And then give them Christianity, oh bliss. But maybe we can see this move, the move of taking away religion and imposing Christianity, as part of the way to impose the state, because it verticalizes spirituality. So, a God, or is it a religion with fixed boundaries and fixed hierarchies, are interlinked. Okay, but what is a state? What is a state, you want to know, interrupting the story? Well, there is a dry and long definition that I used, you say hurriedly, taking a sip of your almost empty plastic cup of water. But to sum it up, I'd say it's a society with a centralized ability of strategy over territory and systematic coercion. Like people living off of other people. Now let's try and teach you how to mingle. And then we'll teach you how to kill. Songs from a sunken Leviathan ring through time and space as you talk about the end of the Bronze Age, 500 years of missing stories, probably anarchic ones, and the emergence of the Greek democracy. The emergence of the Greek democracy as the result of a crooked and corrupted revolution. And I can only think of France, 1789, and what we have now in Europe as the results of a crooked, corrupted revolution. Results we're still worshipping and living with. Instead of being free, we all are our own oppressor, making us part of the state, making the state part of us. How cynical and disillusioned. And you talk about fallen empires and colonial states and patriarchies and slaves and labor. And I think the problem is that we now have to revolutionize out of something completely different than has been revolutionized out of before. The crooked revolutions, all of them, brought us into democracy. And now we need to get out of it. We need to learn so many new things for that. It's getting late. It's almost past midnight. We're all getting sleepy. I mean, we also started later than we thought, of course. I can feel it in the atmosphere. The still very big willingness to talk. Talk on. I light myself a cigarette and think about the possible futures for this weird movement I'm a part of. This cult of relating differently, and how it is necessary to develop new practices in order to organize. We applaud and all thank each other for the nice meeting, a nice evening. And as I walk past the marble stairs, I stumble over some hula hoop rings. Oh, and now the last part of the text got lost, however this happens. It's a trap, I say, and you laugh, saying, but not a very good one. Why? I ask. Well, because you didn't fall. Ja, dieser letzte Text war quasi eine Art poetisches Protokoll, wie ich neuerdings jetzt meine Texte... Oh, now it's in German. Fuck. Ist ja auch egal. So, this last text was kind of a poetic protocol, as I tend to call my texts now, when I'm recording these kind of events and processing them into something new. From like, as you could hear one evening, where we talked about worshipping power. The next evening, the talks went on, and so did they the next and the day after that. There really was a lot of talking. And it was not only talking, it was also friends coming back from vineyards and finding wine that an anarchist professor made and that is called the Blood of the Masters, and giving this wine to all of us, of course, just like a gift. And it's like so, yeah, this small, beautiful, magical moments of connection where you get this really weird feeling that everything is kind of connected, and you really also have to work on yourself getting out of this feeling really quickly because it's really dangerous and leads you to fast conclusions and easy seeings of life. But on the other hand, it is also very important to keep this feeling because, of course, everything is connected. And of course, if we want to go and get somewhere, this thinking intersectionally doesn't only have to do with a rational idea, but also very much with a spiritual one, a feeling of connectedness, of emotionality, of being now, here, but at the same time knowing that everything else is going on and on and on. So, after Arauja la Bomba, you speak an ending word to a long and detailed discussion, full of nodding heads, about the needed change in our movements, about the lacking inclusivity across generations and different forms of oppressions. So, you say, maybe you go to bed tonight depressed, crying, abandoning all hope for the path we've been going along so far, asking yourself seriously, do I want to just accept defeat? Because this is it. If we go on like this, we lose. We are losing. We have been losing for decades. And tomorrow morning, when you get up, look in the mirror and ask yourself, do you want to give up? And that's completely okay to give up. Or are you willing to change completely and fight? It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. And I think that this this point that is made in this small text is very, very relevant, because it's something I've been, I mean, of course, I think it's very relevant because it's also something I've been thinking about a lot. And then that question really resonated with me deeply. And that's why I'm sharing it with you, dear listeners of Quarantimes, Die Nachtschau. Today, it's all kind of magic. Yeah. And I'm sharing it because when I look at our movement, like I wrote in this earlier text, this strange cult of relating differently, I don't feel like there's a movement or community. And maybe it's okay that there isn't. But in a way, it really sucks, because I believe that core value to building up something new, and in the way of that, of course, also destroying. But it's not about the destruction, because that would be nihilism, right? We need to build communities, many of them. And we need to learn how to start being self-sufficient. And by that, I don't only mean like in a way of feeding ourselves off the land, but I also mean in a way of how we deal with each other, that we are not dependent on external relationships, on hierarchical relationships, on this this whole small web that is keeping us in this reality that we actually want to break out of. I mean, if I'm honest with myself, I'd rather dream some days than go back to this me, 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 me. And it's a fight. It's a big fight because I feel like I constantly have to lie or trick myself through reality. But I'm like tired of tricking, right? I just want to do the shit I want to do. And that also has a lot to do with relating. Yeah. So that's why this text resonated a lot with me, because I feel like it's not only about the lacking community or like the lacking movement, because there are a lot of people that do many, many great things, and I don't want to make them smaller than they are. But there is this way in relating that is kind of not really elaborated enough yet. So to bring us into this organizing, because the way we're organizing is still in a very old fashion, right? It's the way we learned to organize. It's like super vague, it's super meta again. Welcome to the meta show. But the way we organize, I feel, is like still some rest from the 80s and still has a lot to do with also with ideas on how we are in a position of anti, of being against and against and against, and get caught in this form of criticism that I've also been talking about in other episodes, albeit in German. But so we get caught in this, and we also get caught in this idea that in order to like bring revolution or be an anarchist, we have to do some kind of actions that are visible to the outside world. We have to like get attention. We have to be seen by the public. Now, maybe it's not that at all. Maybe we should really start working towards the inside. And by that, I do not mean, okay, peeps, let's all move to the countryside and form a commune and then not give a fuck about what's happening in the world, which is, again, totally legitimate if you want to do this. But really start with honestly changing the way we all relate to each other. And from this and out of this, like, start to organize differently. And this, for me, means a lot. Also getting back to some serious anarchist principles, mainly organizing in affinity groups and taking them seriously. Take your closest group of friends seriously. Don't feel like you're excluding other people because you have a closed group. It's fine. Just acknowledge that other people also have groups and then see how you can do things together in a different way. Even if it's like cooking, you know? Yeah. And there's like one other word that you used in your talks that really caught me, and it was the ecosystem of revolt. And I really like it. It like goes beyond of this idea of people always talking about, violence, non-violence, structural work, work to the front, work in the back, care work, Because if you use this phrase, the ecosystem of revolt, it kind of becomes obvious to me that as revolt is an ecosystem, everything has its place in it, and it all comes and works together and relates to each other. And maybe we should even start thinking of all our general relationships a lot more in this form of ecosystems. And by thus we can once more embrace difference from each other. Because as an ecosystem, it wouldn't make any sense at all if we were very homogeneous, wouldn't it? Arrocca la bomba che butta metraglia, colloca petardo e pugna le sta, propaga tua idea rivoluzionaria, basta che consiga anche libertà, accudì lo anarchista, empugnando la pistola hasta el morir, con petróleo y dinamita, toda clase de gobierno a combatir y destruir, es hora que caiga tanta dictadura, vergüenza de España por su proceder, no más militares, beatas y puras, abajo la iglesia, que caiga el poder. Empuñando la pistola hasta el morir, con petróleo y dinamita, toda clase de gobierno a combatir y destruir. Quarantimes, die Nachtschau, emanzipatorisches und widerständiges in Zeiten der Krone. Today, it's all kind of magic. I'm Trailer Sparks, and you're listening to FSK, Freies Senderkombinat, auf 93,0 FM im Hamburger Stadtgebiet. Or maybe You're just listening to my podcast. So, I'm thinking about things that could really have some impacting change, okay? And then it all comes down to this really, really cheap and easy basic things. Harden your community. Create food autonomy. And I mean, it's still as cheap and hip it seems. I think this urban gardening idea still isn't that bad after all. Also, thinking about the pollution, if you really want to eat what is growing by the roadside, but that's a whole different topic, right? And then I think one thing that is very important to me is enhance your imagination. So we should all start thinking a lot more about what could be, what we would want to have there, and how, and then in the next step, thinking of how could we work on this, or do we even work on this, or maybe, and that's where the magic comes into play, maybe it just happens. Because if I believe something, wow, and I have to cough in this very moment, if I believe something, then it's that the way we think about things also can change the way we will do things, and changes the way things are. Well, you know, not in a very materialist way. And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate from people that think more Marxists, but I always do that. So, and by that, I do also not mean this post-structuralist idea of, if we change the word of something, also the thing itself is going to change. In a way, both the materialist position and the post-structuralist position are very important to me, and I've learned a lot of them. And in a way, I think they both belong together, because of course, a word can change a thing, and of course, a thing has to change itself, or has to be changed to really change, to really relate the change. But so they belong together, right? Only practice can change, really change also the meaning of the word and so on. And oppression has a lot to do also with practice and not only with the right words you use. But there is like another layer to this. And of course, it's on one hand, you can notice like I'm slowing down in my speech because I'm thinking as I'm speaking. And no, I didn't make any notes again. So the layer to this, how change comes into world, is to me the imagination part, and how it's not about changing the idea about something or the something to like ignite change, but it's like about having, first of all, a completely different idea. And then, and I do believe that completely different ideas from what is are possible, and that I can have completely different ideas, and that I have imagination that is beyond things that really exist. And this has to do with training this muscle, training the visionary muscle and the muscle of imagination. And of course, science fiction has always been my favorite kinds of literature, and also in the past 1.5 years of doing this show, you might have noticed that these are the kind of books I tend to talk about a lot. And I do believe that the stories will change the way that things will happen, as stories from the past have changed the way things did happen. And you can call this magical thinking. And I think part of it is what people would commonly describe as magic, because magic is also this thinking of something and then it becoming true, you know? And it's about the way you think of something and the way things become true. And of course, the way you work towards these things then becoming a reality. I think one of my favorite examples is like how writers have thought of the internet and space travel and all these kind of things long before they happened. But what if these people would not have thought about these things, but would have told stories about anarchist communities and not all, and you know, and what if there would have been many more utopian science fiction novels and not always this dystopian science fiction novels? How would that change? What if this idea of colonizing space actually has to do with this, the kind of science fiction novels that were written and that exist, that are always a lot about humans colonizing space and a lot less about anarchic societies that come together? So, yeah. It's about stories, and that's where the magic lies. And that's why I also think it's important to tell stories of things that happened and through this win the narrative over of history and start changing it also by that in a backward way. Because, right, if you want to throw a bottle, if you want to throw a brick, your hand first moves to the back so it can throw forward.
É hora das bruxonas gargalhar. Cai a noite, é hora das bruxonas gargalhar.
Andando na rua encontrei um portal, a bruxa comanda o cabo da nau. Seu salto afiado é atemporal, e tudo e nem usa bola de cristal.
Tentaram me matar na porta do cabaré.
Sete facada, 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 eu matei. Sete facada.
Ah, And that's why I'm going to tell you another story. And this time it's a bit of lived history. And one that, is really very dear to me. And it's very recent history and happened in a city that is not Hamburg, but it is still in Europe. It could happen in every city, to be honest. And it has happened again and again. But this time, I just wanted to tell the story about it. Or this time, I wanted to tell the story in a different way. It's 7 a.m. and you hear weird noises from the street, alerting you out of a dreamless sleep of beer. You go to the door and you find workers putting brick on brick, building wall by wall in front of the very house you're living in front of your windows and doors. Bricking a house to keep people out, that's one thing, you yell, but are you trying to lock us into the squat? The worker shrugs. It's his job to build these walls. He says, well, we were told it's empty. They close it all, except for the main door, and give you until Friday to leave. 2 days to build back more than half a year of living. And for what? This house is going to be empty for years again, until this multinational investment company, You Spark Capital, We Spark Dreams, will even start building or destructing. So you call out for help. It's time to fight. And we come. More and more people show up in small groups throughout the day and the next. We hold meetings, set up tasks, find places for the vulnerable people, the dogs, the valuables. We talk about strategies, paint banners, write press texts, political statements, share pics and invite to a breakfast support group outside for Friday, 6 a.m. The squat is the party, yet this time in a very different way. So many emotions, cigarettes, beers, wines and foods, yes, as always, but also so much will to defend, to barricade, to declare. Not only because it's unlawful what is happening to you, but because this is the kind of call of action that was needed. It is deeply within all of our current struggles, and we feel alive, thriving in community, debating loudly in 1 second and hugging in the next. We don't only share political ideals and a vague struggle, but this time we have something very concrete to fight for. It's not about the building. Well, it is to some point. But it's about the relationships that we all formed since the house has been opened. It is about the change within and between us that happened in the past 6 months. And it is about continuing this path together. It's 4:30 a.m. and I get up to meet you. We decided to prepare coffee and breakfast. Tired, yet full of weird positive excitement that has taken hold of us. Shouldn't we be sad or worried? Finally, we managed to brew the coffee and cut the cucumbers and prepare the hummus and get some bread. We arrive after 6 a.m. and you are already waving at us. Masked from the first floor windows. We set up our carton box on the opposite side of the road, facing the building with all its newly hanging banners. It is still dawning, and we are in the light of the street lanterns. You wave again, calling us to you. You unhinge the windows and heave through a small table and letting it down on a rope. So we set up this second table next to the main door of the building, the house, the squat. We put some coffee there and some empty cups and send some of the coffee back up to you. The next hours are full of boredom and anticipation, tense. We hand out leaflets to passers-by, We welcome new people joining the breakfast. We lie around on the pavement, smoke cigarettes, piss into the bushes. And all of us are wary of each car coming around the corner. And we are looking at you in the house, and you're looking at us, and we know we're there. You're craning your necks out of the window, up to an extent that I wonder when you get a pain from this. And I think of turtles. Tortuga. Tartarugas. I go to bed. Well, the thing is, I'm developing a really high fever and stomach ache. So, turns out I cannot move at all anymore for the next 24 hours. And so when I wake up from time to time, one of you comes to check on me, how I am, measure the fever, give me some tea, tell me the latest news. So the police break in and put 15 into detention jail. Luckily, you're all in a cell together. Yet, every time you're getting too cheerful, the cops shut you up. You're released around 7 p.m. The house is bricked completely by them, with everything, all of your stuff, and the food. You're so sad about the rice, you say, still in it. Yet, what happened is not this. Oh, God, you're in the lawnmower? Great. What happened is not this. Yet, it is this, but it is also so much care and laughter. I feel a growth happening again as we all set off for the weekend. So yes, 24 hours later, I'm kind of fine. And we drive away to the countryside in different cars, restless and full of life. There was going to be a party, no matter the outcome. And so it is. So what is the story of this house? To me, it's a story of a change within a scene that started in lockdown. One of mutual aid and fight. One of queerness more out in the open. One of long-term organizing. Because the struggle is every day, and this time we just let it erupt more into the open. That's it. Not more and no less. And that's kind of magic. Yes, here at Quarantine Times, we share emancipatory stories from all over and join all kinds of struggles by listening and learning and wondering and imagining. Yes, imagination is key. I'm Trailer Sparks, and today is all about magic.
The glitter on the snow, the place to always go. Do what you will, do what you will.
To create a world of many worlds, to create first steps and paths towards many worlds, paths that intertwine, that we can walk or run down together, paths that bifurcate and yet are to be discovered. The journey of many paths begins with playing, letting go of what is and opening to what could be. Alas, get your friends together, your comrades and co-workers, and maybe that interesting looking stranger down the street, and play.